All right, we are going to finish up today our series on the call. And, you know, a lot of people kind of have the misconception that when God's talking about the call, that he's just talking about people in the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors, the five. But really, God has a call on each of our lives. And I believe once we find that out, we're going to find the purpose, you know, finding God's purpose for our life. You know, sometimes we live with regrets. I know I have. But sometimes it's really sad that what we have done wrong in life sticks out to us more than what we've done right. You know, we kind of dwell on those things. Today I want to turn that around a little bit. I want us to think about a life worth remembering. A life worth remembering. You know, finding God's purpose in our life and then live for that purpose, to me, is a game changer in what it is that we find out really why God put us here. You know, many people, sarcastically, I ask them, how's it going? They say, oh, I'm just living the dream. But they're being sarcastic about it because they're really not happy. To me, I found out that when we're living for God and we're in line with his purpose, it's like a dream come true. And I want us to get to that place. Week one, we talked about never forget the God factor. And you can listen to these online if you want and kind of catch up. But never forget the God factor, God working our lives. Week two, we looked at we need to be in it to win it. Week three, we looked at, which was last week, was God is working with you and not against you. And this week, we're going to look at the concept, if we live with purpose, we will live a life worth remembering. And I really believe that's something that, you know, you're not going to take anything with you out of this world, you know, other than yourself, you're leaving. But the things we leave behind is really for others. And really the impact that we make on them. First scripture we're going to look at today is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 to 14. And, you know, it's kind of that passage right after it talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then it goes into this, what the fivefold ministry is supposed to be doing. It says, for the equipping of the saints, starting in verse 12, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer children, tossed here and there by the waves and carried about by any ever wind of doctrine, but by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you right now for your anointing that is a bondage breaker, that breaks every hindrance and everything that's trying to hold us back from your best. Lord, I thank you for a special stirring in each of our hearts that we want to know why we're here, why it is that we're on this planet right now, and why we're in this place. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I thank you for that gift, Lord. I want to use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so when we look at this passage a little bit and kind of break it down, we're going to look at each verse and just pick out one thought. It's the first thing I want to see is that we need to get grounded. We need to get grounded and how important it is to be grounded in the Word of God. So that is the first purpose. The first thing that you have to do once you become born again is you need to find out more about who you are and what God has put inside of you. And the only way that happens is by getting the Word of God in your life. You know, I've ran into countless Christians that say, you know, they're a Christian, but then they doubt the Word of God. Well, it's only by what the Word of God says can we become a Christian. So it's important to get to the fact because it says, get equipped, you know, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. That's why we get equipped. I mean, when you go to work the first day at your job, maybe you don't know everything you need to do, and hopefully you go through orientation a little bit. And you try to learn a few things about what they're wanting you to do, what's expected of you. But there's a lot of Christians that come into the kingdom of God, and then they just kind of never really move. They never really grow. They never really take the next step in their relationship with God. And that's what the vision of this church is to try to help people just to take the next step. That's all you got to do. Each time, just take another step. You don't have to run. Just take a step. Just get better. Just get better in what God wants you to be. And just find that out. And you do that by getting into the Word of God. One of the most life-changing thing you're going to find out is really what God thinks about you in the Bible. Because when we are living as a sinner and we're out in the world, I don't know about you, but I always thought God was against me. God didn't want me to have any fun. God wanted me to quit all this and quit all that and, just do nothing, just sit there. But once I found out who I am in Christ, to what great lengths Jesus Christ came to restore me and put me back at the place where God wanted me and to be with Him, it totally changed the dynamic in my thinking of the relationship that I knew that God wanted to have with me. He wants us to be equipped for the work of service because we all have a place to play or a part to play. When I said price to pray, I wasn't going to take up another offer. Now some of you are going, oh no, he's going to slip that in there. But it talks about to build the body. Now, I don't know if you ever look, do I look like a bodybuilder? I used to. I don't know more. But on the inside, I am. I'm a spiritual bodybuilder. Right now, I would not be probably on any magazines or anything like that, of showing, I haven't seen my abs in quite some time, Like, I don't want to be too callous, but I don't have a six-pack, I have a keg now. You know what I'm saying? And the idea of what it means to be a bodybuilder and the discipline that it takes to be able to be tuned in and to be able to make yourself better. And see, that's what we got to see as being a Christian, that you here are a part of this body and you make a difference. And the part that you play is so important that nobody else can do it. Because God has placed you here for a reason. If God has placed you in this church, then He's placed you here for a reason, and you are to build up the body of Christ. You're to make it better in whatever way, shape, or form. The gifting that He's put inside of you, we're better because of you. But without you, we're not as good. And that's what we have to see in life, that we are needed. Because God wants us to get to that place. And when we get ourselves built up and we're stronger, the third point it looks at is the idea, or the second point, is to become mature in verse 13. It's talking about the unity of the faith. We will probably never have unity of doctrine because different churches maybe have different approaches to Jesus Christ and on how they do things, and that's fine as long as they stay on the road, if you're on a four-lane highway, there's several lanes you can get on. But as long as you're staying on the road. Now, God doesn't want us to get off the road and get off on the weird stuff. But, we need to come to the unity of the faith around Jesus Christ and the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, what I see about that, the more we get to know Jesus, because it talks about there in this passage, talking about the measure of stature. And what I see from that is that God wants to increase our capacity. And I go into this every now and then. But when we're saved and we have a certain level of capacity, there's only so many things you can handle. But as you increase your capability in life, as you allow yourself to be trained in the things of God and get the Word of God down in your heart, there's more things you can handle, and that increases your capacity to be able to serve Him. And that makes you more, for lack of a better, I don't want to be a tacky word, makes you more marketable in the kingdom of God, in the sense that you can be counted on to do more things. God is looking for people that He can count on. We can count on God, but can God count on us? And that's why it's important we allow ourselves to be developed. And the last point in this passage, in verse 14, is the goal is not to be a child. Right? We can't be a child. Now, children are cool. We love kids here at the church. But one thing it's talking about here is that kids can be deceived kind of easily. You know what I mean? That you can talk them into a lot of things. And they can be led astray. And so if we allow ourselves to become mature and knowledgeable in the things of God, then we can't be tricked by bad doctrine. Now, what I found out in life, we may not be able to quote everything doctrinally about God in the Bible. That's a lot of stuff. But I do know this, if you get the good stuff in you, once you see a counterfeit, you'll know it. I mean, I've heard that's how they train people to find out what a counterfeit bill is. They don't show them a counterfeit bill. They show them the real bill. And they get them so used to what it's supposed to look like that when the counterfeit comes along, it just sticks out like a sore thumb. And see, if you get so grounded in the Word of God and you know what the truth is, when you hear something that's not quite right, you'll know it. And you know not to go down that road, not to allow yourself to be led astray, and to get off track a little bit. And it also helps us to recognize, it talks about bad people who try to hurt the body. There is bad people out there. We all know that. There's bad people that try to come in and they have their own intentions and their own motives. Maybe they like to be in front of people and they're not grounded. You know who the last person that should be up here preaching? Is the one who has to be up here. The one who wants to be up there so bad. It's ego. I'm here because God told me to be up here. This isn't my, when I was first saved, this wasn't what I thought I would be doing. I never had a desire to go in front of people. It wasn't really my wheelhouse. You know, I just soon stand and lean on the wall and look at people doing stupid stuff and laugh. You know what I'm saying? That was just, that was good entertainment for me. I was happy with that. You know? But you know, as God promotes you in the kingdom, hopefully with something, with that will come humility. Now, I remember several years after I was saved, I was very active in my church, doing a lot of different things, teaching Sunday school classes, I was leading street evangelism. I mean, you name it, I was involved in it. I just wanted more. Well, then this one guy, I remember, he said, well, let's go out for breakfast. I want to talk to you about something. I'm like, okay, sure. I knew him. I can't remember how I was introduced to him. Well, then he started trashing my church. And I think he'd been there and maybe got offended or something. So he was telling me, oh, that's not fair. This ain't right. You know, you ought to come and help me build this church. We're going to build a perfect church. And, you know, he was hurting the body. And I'm not saying the church I went to is perfect. There ain't one. This one ain't perfect. I know that. I'm here. But I do know this. I knew that guy was a counterfeit. And I laid him out. Oh, I didn't hit him. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I shouldn't say that way. But you didn't talk bad about my church back then. You know what I'm saying? Because I knew that's where I got saved. That church meant something to me. And you didn't talk bad about my church or my pastor. You know, I just didn't go over. And I just told him, you know, I says, hey, you know, I'm not going to get involved with you. You know, you're wrong. You know, and see, that's what some people do. They try to come in and hurt. They've been hurt. You know, like we always say, hurt people hurt people. And so you may run into somebody like that along your path and in ministry and serving God. You know, just be aware of that. You know, don't let them suck you in to their thing and be able to destroy your life. You know, after, you know, God wants you to get grounded. Now, this is going to be a next step. God's second purpose for your life is that you need to be involved in grounding others. And whatever that means, you need to be involved in grounding others. You need to be able to share what you know. As long as you know a little bit more than the person you're talking to, you can be a teacher. Amen? All you got to do is, just, you know, and believe me, there's people out there you can help. I know there is. Because some of them are just starting their journey. They've only been a couple steps in their journey, and maybe you're farther along your path. And what you need to do is just take what you know and be able to share it with others. You may not be perfect. You may not have everything totally right. But what you do have right, be able to share and give it to others and be an encouragement to somebody. And let God use you and then start to feel what God can do through you. It's going to be a life-changing experience. What I found out in my life is when I share what I know, God gives me more. That's increase. You know what I'm saying? That's how we get increase in our life. And that's the way we increase, is by investment. When we invest in other people's, and disciples beget disciples, and it's important. Because if we live a life with purpose, we're going to live a life that will be worth remembering. Now, life is better when all the body parts are working. You know, back in Denver, I had been backpacking around Europe, and I cracked my foot on the side of a rock and wasn't aware of it. It hurt. But anyway, I got a bone spur, whatever that was. And come to the fact, and, you know, they said, well, we got to cut it off. And, you know, I said, oh, so wasn't really into that, but I did it. And I was awake during the whole procedure and heard the doctor flirting with the nurses and all that. And I thought, man, get to work here, you know. You know, let's... Don't take your eye off the prize here, buddy. You know, But anyway, I got out, and then they put me on crutches. And, you know, I just wasn't as good with crutches as I was without them, you know, in life. I just couldn't operate right because there was a part of my body not working. And just like a sprained ankle or if you you hurt your arm, when something not working in your body, other parts of your body has to compensate. And when this church, which is a body of local believers, when we're missing something or something's hurt, we're not functioning right. And that's why it's important that we all come and bring our part, because then we can be more proficient in the things that God has called us to do. Sometimes we have people wearing multiple hats, and maybe they're overworked. You know, I believe there's somebody in this body that could step up and help them carry that burden so they don't have to do it all the time. And what you find out is then that you're going to be greatly increased in your spiritual walk with God because you've stepped out and stepped into what He has for you. Now, the second point we're going to look at today is to find your passion. And this is going to tie in a little bit more how you get to where you need to be. Now, there's two ways that we look at life. You have your ministry and you have the marketplace. Now, Paul, he was a tent maker. He had his ministry and then he made tents. So he was involved in both. And some people do that. I was a bivocational pastor. And I know, you know, what it's like to enter into both worlds and what you need to do. But the first area that you need to look at is to find your ministry. And what I believe is finding your passion. I believe that God has placed inside of each and every one of us a stirring. Something inside of you that makes you want to go do that. Want to maybe make something right. And the same way, you know, why maybe you choose your career. Now, maybe some of you have a job and it's not a career yet and you want to make it a career. But, you know, when it comes to our ministry, we're building up the body. And when we're out in the marketplace, it's how can we influence people that we work with? Now, you are there to make your boss money. That's your prime directive. That's why you were hired. You need to work hard for your boss. But after you've accomplished that vision, I believe, unless it's totally against company policy, I believe you should be able to share your faith. I believe that you should try to influence people in a positive way to be able to lead them to Jesus Christ. I know I've worked with people over the years and, you know, they have had influence on my life, telling me about Jesus Christ. They were farther along in their journey than I was. And they shared with me, and little by little, they brought me through the process to where I needed to be. They made an impact on my life. And I believe you can make an impact on those around you to be able to share the truth and to get them to where they need to be. If we really want to look at it, the people that you work with during the day is the people that you're with during the most productive time of your hours. I mean, you're mostly wide awake, hopefully, amen. You know, you're there and you're there. You know, but, you know, when you come home to your family, sometimes you're wore out and they get seconds, don't they? They shouldn't, but that's just the way it is. You know, it depends what kind of job you have. But really, the people you work with, you're at your peak performance in your mind and everything you're doing. So that's when you're at your best. And I believe that God can use you in a lot of different ways if we just allow Him to do so. You know, so back to what finding out what your purpose is. I know we need to find that out. You know, what stirs you on the inside? You know, I believe that God has made you a problem solver. You know, if we need an usher and you can usher, you're a problem solver. You solved our problem. If we need a greeter and you're a greeter, you solved our problem. If we need a teacher and you can help out with the kids, you solved the problem, right? See, that's what our purpose is. We solve problems. And whatever you invest your time and your effort into is solving a problem. And see, if we look at it, you say, well, I don't know exactly where I want to get into. I say just get involved and try different things. You know, one other way of doing it, you know, if you're sitting there and you say, you know, can't them ushers see they need to do it this way? You're supposed to be an usher then. You've seen a problem. And now you're the one that maybe is supposed to fix it. If you say, why doesn't the church do this? Why don't we have people out there helping people park the cars? Maybe you're supposed to be the car parker. Amen? I bet people don't complain about stuff around here anymore, do they? We used to have somebody in the church that always told us what we had to do, and finally we got tired of it. We said, why don't you do it? They didn't tell us no more what we need to do because they didn't want to do nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm not opposed to, you know, constructive criticism. I don't want to scare you off and tell me how to be better. I like to get better. But if you see something stirring you, you need to explore it. And that's how you find out your purpose. Because God might be in that stirring. And that's how you find out things. So attempt that. So if we live with purpose, we'll live a life worth remembering. Lastly, we need to live with passion. So find your passion. Now we got to live with that passion. You know, I found out we don't usually do the things we have to do first. We do the things we want to do first. You know, some things you have to do, I know that. But if you can prioritize your schedule, I'll bet you anything, you do the things you enjoy first. Make Jesus your passion. Ask God. You know, here's what, God, I don't have a passion for that. Say, God, give me that passion. You know, I can't count the number of times in my life where I just didn't feel like doing something. Then I ask God to give me a passion for it. Then I can do it with joy. See, if you're willing, God will make you able and He'll empower you. You know, imagine, you know, we're all going to stand before God. Now, just throwing a little theology out there for you. We're not going to stand, if you're a Christian, you don't stand before the judgment seat in the sense the great white throne judgment. Jesus paid that price for you. You know, He took that and He stood in our place because He's the only one worthy that could pay the price. But there is the Bema seat. The Bema seat where every Christian is going to stand before Him and kind of give an account for what they've done with what they had. No fear, but they're going to be tried by fire, whatever that means. And then what's ever burned away will be lost, but whatever will stay there will be your reward. So, in saying that, what would you say to Jesus on that day if you're standing before Him and He says, what did you do with your life? What did you do with your life? That's a good question. Now, if you're Joey Chestnut, he said, I could eat more hot dogs than anybody. Is that what you want to tell Jesus? My name's in the Guinness World Book of Records? Because I could eat the most hot dogs? Or I was employee of the week 3 times running? Or is there something else we can say? Is there something else we can tell the Lord that, you know, Lord, I lived for You. I wanted to serve You. And because of me, I believe the world was a better place because of You living through me. Hallelujah. That's where we need to get. You know, the countless faces of people that You've made influence on, that You've assisted and helped to get to the next step in their life is so important. Because really, at the end, that's all that's going to matter. You ask anybody on their deathbed, they'll say, they're not going to say, I wish I worked more. They're not going to say, I wish I had more money I could leave behind and not take with me. They say, I wish I'd have spent more time with my family. I wish I maybe would have helped more people. And see, that's how we get involved and find our purpose, because we do it as unto the Lord. I want to read a little story here. I'm going to explain a little bit. But in Mark chapter 14, verse 8 and 9, it says, She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for burial. Truly I say to you, whoever the gospel is preached in this whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken in memory of her. Okay, this is probably talking about Mary, the sister of Lazarus and Martha. And she was at this little get-together, and Jesus was kneeling there, and she came up and she dumped a bunch of perfume or anointing upon his head because he was getting ready to go for burial. And it was worth 300 days' wages. 300 denarii. A denarii was worth one day's wage. So you picture working almost the whole year, and you take this perfume, and then you dump it on some guy's head. Well, the disciples were getting indignant. Of course, Judas, he kept the money box, you know what I'm saying? You know, they were getting all uptight. But Jesus said, this will be a memorial, and her name has been in the Bible, or, you know, this story is in several places. And it's a memorial of that act of what she did for Jesus Christ. Why did she do that? Well, yes, they had money. They were people of means. But you got to remember, you know, Jesus really helped their family. I don't know about you, but their brother was dead. And Jesus rose him from the dead. What would you do for Jesus if he rose your brother from the dead? Would you be beholden to him? Nothing was too much for Jesus. And see, that's the attitude we need to have. I don't know about you, but I was going to hell. I was separated from God for all eternity until I bowed my knee that day, November 5th, 1983, and gave my life to Jesus Christ. I am very beholden to Jesus. Nothing is too much for him. Nothing is too good for him because he earned it all. And see, that's how we find our purpose. When we live with passion for Jesus Christ in whatever we do, and just know as we're doing it to Jesus, you may be helping somebody here in the congregation or out in the community, but as you do it unto the Lord, it's as if you're doing it to Jesus Christ. How much do you owe Jesus Christ today? It's a debt you can never pay. We can never pay him back. All we can do is honor him. Honor him with our life, with everything that we have and all that we are. Surrender it to him. And yes, there's, I mean, people say, that sounds like a full-time job. It is a little bit. But you know what? I can do that while I'm at work. I can do that when I'm out playing. I can do that when I'm, you know, doing different things. It's only just a frame of mind. That Jesus, I love you. You've done so much for me. I want to honor you with my life. I mean, really, it's his anyway. I mean, I want to go into all that doctrine right now, but think about it. You know, you were bought with a price. He owns us. He just don't lord it over us. He wants us to come freely and just say, I surrender all. I come to you, Jesus. I give my life to you. And whatever you have for my life, Lord, I'll do. And so just remember that whatever we do for the body of Christ, it will be remembered and how important that is. I want you to think about this. I want you to say to yourself, I am the one, this is the place, and now is the time. There's no better day than today. That you are the one, this is the place, and now is the time. It's time to rise up, it's time to step out, and it's time to press on. So get grounded. Find out who we are in Christ. Then find your passion. What moves you on the inside? Because if we live a life with purpose, we'll live a life worth remembering. Let's pray.